The book of Ephesians, he's your brother in the Lord as well. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 14 through 21. And I pulled this up from the New King James. It doesn't change much, but a little. But verse 14 sounds odd to start there without going two verses back to kind of put it in its context. Actually, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is on your for your behalf. And now he says, for this reason, the reasons that he just gave, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I find that really interesting that knees is plural, because sometimes we only want to go halfway and just do a one knee. Oh, God. Supposed to be really serious now, guys. Come on, help me out. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Think on that. We are not alone. There are countless multitudes of precious brothers and sisters that have gone on to be with the Lord in heaven, that one day we will all sit down and dine at the Master's table together. But until then, be assured, you may think you're isolated, you may think you're alone, you may think that you've got to walk this walk by yourself because there's no one to help you, there's no one to encourage you, there's no one to pick you up. But Paul lovingly reminds us right here, the whole family in heaven and earth is named because of Christ. We are called Christians, Christ-like ones. We have a kinship. We have a brother-sister relationship with him. It's eternal in the heavens. And we'll never be alone, ever. And then he said that he would grant you, and as I'm reading this, you can say that he would grant me, because this letter is to you, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now let's chew a little more on that, because there's a lot of things that we can glean out of this that pertains to each one of us. That he would grant me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit that dwells in the inner man. It's important as believers to realize that the inner man, Paul calls him the new man, oftentimes put on the new man. It's the real us inside the earth suit. I use earth suit because I get a better understanding of what it means to live in the flesh if I just live out of my earth suit, my physical being. There's a lot more to be lived by the one who dwells in my inner man, the real you, that's empowered us in the exact likeness and image of Christ himself. That's the real you inside. That's where our strength comes. Is to learn to look within, not of ourselves, but of the one who dwells in us. That's our source of strength when you find it hard to feel strong. And you can't maybe find someone to hook up with you and pray with you or lift you up or encourage you all the time. Look to the greater one who lives within you. Did not John in one of his epistles say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? Well, sometimes you really have to believe those scriptures like they were true. What a concept. And so, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, you could rephrase that and say according to his glorious riches. God is not cheap. He's not the God El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, the one who will meet all of our needs. Look to him. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Don't let anyone take it away from you. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. Don't let anyone badger you and bully you and talk down to you and speak evil of you without realizing what they're doing, because there's going to be such a conviction of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon them for mistreating, misaligning, speaking evil of you because they don't know what they're doing. They just don't. They think that they're getting even, and they think it's the right thing to say and the right thing to do until they get saved. And then it's going to be a whole new song and dance for that person. Being rooted and grounded in love. When David brought those scriptures, and it talks about all the wonderful things about what we confess. I've heard a lot of Word of Faith teaching, and it's very true. We possess what we confess. We're also called to name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. That's the group we are, okay? And it's true. When you learn what God's promises are, and you lay claim to them, and you confess them and possess them. But to be grounded in love, at the end of that portion in Mark chapter 11, something very important. It's about forgiving others. Otherwise, those are just words. They're powerful words. But we're not going to experience the benefit of them if we're holding anything against anybody and we're trying to claim the promises of God. If we're out of line with still loving that person and overlooking it's hard to overlook what a person does. It's just that we're not their judge, and it's not our job to hold them accountable. But our job is to love, that we will pray with the right attitude and the right motive for heart changes. And that's a real key. To pray for someone's heart to be changed by the Holy Spirit, and then they won't be the way they are that gets under your skin. And it's easy to forget that. You know, we get so focused on, it's all about me. Me, 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 like Joyce Myers talks about. And also, that we might be able to comprehend or to understand or come to realize all the dimensions that you could imagine that talk about the love of God. He's so high you can't get over him. He's so low you can't get under him. He's so wide you can't go around him. It's we can't in our own understanding understand that concept. But by faith we can. And that's always been an answer for me that was very simple, that satisfied my quest. Is, well, he said it has to be true, because I consider the source. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Was it Peter that talked about the peace of God that passes all understanding? Now maybe that was Paul in Philippians. But the love of Christ, to have a revelation of that and how powerful it is. All the testimonies and about hate and violence and all of that. That has a place in this world. But the love of Christ will squash it in a heartbeat. You might not literally see that, but you'll see it in your personal life. And you'll see the victory that God gives us through it. And that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Colossians 1:10 says, we're complete in Him. There are no missing pieces. Did you ever buy a jigsaw puzzle? Did you get it all put together and find out there's a piece missing? Don't it just make you mad and want to take the box back and get your money back? Well, you don't have to do that with the Lord. You're a piece of the bigger picture. You're a piece of the family, and there is nothing missing. There is nothing lacking. And the beautiful person that you are, that God created in the image of His own Son. That's who you are. And you're complete. There is nothing lacking. There is nothing missing. And God didn't make a mistake. You're not the only one that wrecked the mold. Because He made us all. And we're beautiful in His sight. To be filled with all the fullness of God. You've heard me say, this is where I get terms like, I just use them in a conversation, that we're wall-to-wall God inside. And I can't even imagine how our skin contains it. To understand how full of God we really are. I can't understand that in my mind, but by faith I have to believe it's true. And I don't even question those things. Now to Him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask. What if you asked? Don't answer me now, but just think about it. What have I asked Him for? Did I sell myself out? Did I not realize that what I asked, He's able to do even more than that? Because when I ask, it's usually pretty simple. It's mostly needs oriented. Sometimes I express a desire, but there's even more. Or that we can think. And I have a vivid imagination, but you know that. According to the power that works in us. What's the power that works in us? So you see what you ask, the limitations, if there's any limitations on it, it's us. But if He's able to exceed what we can ask or imagine by the power that works in us, it clearly shows us that it's the Holy Spirit that causes those things to manifest in our lives. Not in our own strength, not in our own power, but by His Spirit. To Him be glory in the Church of Christ Jesus to all generations. See, we're not the last generation. To all generations forever and ever. If you look at some of the covenants that God made, it was for all generations. It was everlasting covenants. And with God, there's no ending. He's the beginning and the end and everywhere in between. And when you're in Christ by the Spirit, your life is never ending. That's why we have eternal life now. It's already now. Live like you're going to live forever, because we are. Our bones may lie to us. Our bodies may lie to us at times. But they're going to wear out. They weren't designed to live eternally. They were to contain His presence for a period of time. And then we graduate. And our bodies go back to the dust of the earth. But it's the inner man that's eternal. And that's the part that we really need to keep our focus on, because that's the part that's exactly in His image and in His likeness. It's perfect. It's complete. There is nothing lacking. You are faultless, without blemish, and without wrinkle in Christ. And that's a beautiful place to leave it. Thank you, Paul, for that letter. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Gary asked that we pray for our president, and he is still our president. And I break every curse, every demonic witchcraft, and satanic group that's been, and sorcerers that have been trying to tear him down and pull him down and destroy him with curses and every ungodly thing that could come upon him. We break every stronghold over his life. We lose healing and power and strength and energy and renewal and encouragement in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that there is no time or distance in the realm of your spirit. And we thank you. We speak words of life over him and all of his family who's come under great, great attack for the last 6 years. And finally, Father, breakthrough is coming. His breakthrough is coming. And Father, we declare it. And we thank you for it, even if we don't see it with our natural eyes today. We know it's coming. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for healing him and making him whole. He's not too old. And I thank you that you confirm your call on his life to him personally, and that the anointing and your mantle of authority is still upon him. And I thank you that you raise him up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Quite a few years ago, we had more people who were part of an intercessory prayer team. There are spirits over Washington, D.C. that are so powerful and so strong. There's a spirit of lust, greed, and power. And even a well-intentioned person who wants to go and serve there is very susceptible, not knowing what they've gotten themselves into and the amount of pressure and spiritual attack that they come under. And many aren't able to recognize it, and they fall prey to it. And I've never forgotten that sometimes it's easy to forget the spiritual dimension of things in the depth of what people find themselves in. It's a power trip, and if you want to play by the rules, they'll give you nice seats on committees. And the temptations are very strong. And I think about the younger Christian men and women that were elected this year to go to Washington. They're very, very adamant about their faith. They're very strong in their faith. But those are some key areas that we really need to remind ourselves to be coming against. There are satanic cults and sorcerers that continuously wage warfare against good, solid people that serve in public office. It's not an easy thing. And they can be worn down very quickly if they don't know how to stand. And that's one of the purposes of the body of Christ, too, is that we can call upon the name of Jesus to break every stronghold and pull those strongholds down on behalf of those who don't know how to resist those things and have very little opportunity while they're there. Believe it or not, Uncle Gary. Yes. Chapter 2, 1 Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Don't forget to pray for Nancy. Well, once again, there's a whole spiritual dimension over places of power like that can really cloud over sound reasoning. And if you're not really connected to a really vibrant, faith-filled church, because you can get so consumed with serving that it just gets lost. It gets lost in the clutter. And it's important. Sometimes these people don't get to go home for weeks on end. And it's not a 5-day-a-week job. It's 7 days. We can't even begin to imagine all the stuff they're doing over the weekends. Well, a lot of us have our weekends to do whatever we will do. But a lot of them don't, and they get wore down. They could do what we do if they had what we had, but many of them don't. And so it's our job, if you will, to remember them in prayer and to fight for them, to stand in the gap for them. I know it isn't easy, the battle that they fight, and many of them don't know how to get out of it. They don't know how to resist. They don't have the strength to resist. It's a good reminder to me, too, because Faith and I have learned for years and years and years about that kind of prayer, about intercession and pulling down strongholds. And, you know, it's interesting that it's the body of Christ that's been commissioned to the pulling down of strongholds, even down on an individual level, about pulling down strongholds in our own lives. But it's in the power of the name of Jesus to pull them down. And I was going to, for today, close with some scriptures that we read a few weeks ago in this fail-proof living teaching about virtue, the new value system that we as believers have. It's very different than the one that we got delivered out of in some of our cases. So Colossians chapter 3. Three verses, Colossians 3, verses 15, 16, and 17. And this is really, really important. This is brother and apostle Paul speaking to us again through his word. Sometimes I think he learned this the hard way. He resisted and fought against coming to the Lord and had people thrown in prison for their faith. And then all of a sudden he finds himself laying on the ground, knocked off his own horse.
There's hope for everybody.
Yes. And how his life was changed on the Damascus Road that day. And God, by the Spirit, taught him and made up for lost time, if you will. He learned very quickly a lot of these really revelatory truths. But he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And it says plural because he's writing it to the church, to the body of Christ. It says, let the peace of God rule. That tells me three things. Number one, we can if we choose to. Number two, if we choose not to, that's the other option. And number three is the fact that we have it to begin with. Peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's already within us. We have it. So that's something really good to remember. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts to have foremost place, to rise to a position of authority and power in the life of the believer that we have. To let that peace rule. It wants to. It's designed to. It was given to us to rule. But if we want to take the bull by the horns ourselves, I could just hear God say, go ahead, have fun. Because we're really selling ourselves short, and we're selling him short in the sense of what he's given us, what he's equipped us with. These are tools that he's given us to live victoriously in times of trouble and war and turmoil. He's given us peace. And it's within us. It's not something that's going to fall out of the clouds one day. No, it's already within us. And he says, to the which you are called. Oh, we're called to that. Imagine that. Want to know what your call is? Walk in peace. Let it rule in your life. That's part of your call as a believer, and mine as well. You are called in one body, and be thankful. Thankful goes a long ways with being faithful. Thankful is really big with the Lord, too. You see that word so many times mentioned. Thankful is a short word meaning filled with thanksgiving. And let the word of Christ, so here's that word let. That means give it permission. Allow it. Allow the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. Let the word dwell. The rent's been paid. You can't kick him out. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Can't always grab Ken and Lori. Got to learn, just like David did. He learned to praise the Lord in a cave, running from his enemies and hiding for his life. He couldn't go to the website and listen to the opening scripture this morning. He couldn't get a CD from Hagen's ministry or any place else. He had to learn to encourage himself in the Lord. And Paul has been through all of that. And he's preaching and teaching out of his experiences as well. This stuff works. But you got to work it. They are tools for successful, overcoming, victorious life. And that's why this whole teaching that we're doing, it's about winning. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I can't say that I've done that 100% of the time, and not even today yet. Still got a lot of time left today. But it says, do all in the name of the Lord, whatever I do in my deeds or whatever we do for others in our service to the Lord. We serve the Lord by serving others. He came to serve. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And there's that word thanksgiving again. Paul used that word so many times, I wanted to do a word search sometime to see how many times that word came up in his writings, because there was a day when he thought he was doing God a service by throwing Christians in prison. And he thought he was a very religious, he's very devout, he was very faithful to the religion of the day. But he wasn't born again yet. But he had those qualities in him that he was very faithful to where he was at in his walk. But when he got saved, everything changed and he became very thankful. And I can't even imagine what his mind was going through when he suddenly realized and was convicted of the Spirit of what he had done to the followers of Christ in the early church. In fact, he fathered many of the early churches. I mean, can you imagine that? It just makes you so encouraged to think that if God could save him and he could save me, there's hope for everybody. Because the gospel is powerful and it does change lives. So be encouraged in where you're working, and you see people that are literally losing it right before your very eyes. People are having a really, really hard time coping with a lot of stuff. But we're to let the peace of God rule. Because people like being around you when you're peaceful. But we can get stirred up too. Sometimes I don't like the fruit of my own words. What's that?
It's a joint flow.
Yeah. But you know, the call here is that we're to encourage one another. Admit it when we're wrong. I mean, my gosh, none of us are 100%ers yet. At least I don't know anybody yet that is. So we're all in the same boat together. We're all the same body, the same family. And we all deal with the same issues. They may manifest a little differently, but we're all in the same battle. But I know this one thing. We may lose a few skirmishes, but we're not going to lose the war. And that's the good news. And I've read this countless times, and I know I didn't have to read it all the way to the end so many times, but it was really helpful because I came to the greatest conclusion of all, we win. We win. And that's good news. So persevere, remain faithful, do what you know to do, and rejoice, be filled with thanksgiving, and enjoy the day that God has given us. Anybody have any prayer needs this morning for yourself?